Okay. Today's installment of Lectionary at Lunch has as its focus Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. We'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. In the face of false teaching, in the face of a pluriform and antithetical Greco-Roman society, and in the face of persecution as well, Paul exhorts his contemporaries to steadfastness in the faith, to a faith, a life, and a love in keeping with our identity given to us by grace through faith in Christ our Lord. So, beginning with verse 6, he declares, "Now we charge you, parangelamen de humen. Now we charge you, brothers, adelphoi, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, en onomate tu kureu hemon, Jesu Christu. We charge you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you," stelesthai is an infinitive of the verb stelo, followed by the accusative humas. Humas here actually in the accusative is specifying the subject of the infinitive. The infinitive itself then is an infinitive of indirect discourse. Following after the verb of charging, the infinitive of indirect discourse then specifies the contents of that charge. You know, we are charging you that you keep away from, Paul, every brother, pantos adelphou, who walks... jumping ahead a little bit, peripatuntes is an adjectival participle of peripateo. It's modifying here, adelphou, who walks ataktos in an unruly or defiant manner. Not kai me, according to kata, the tradition, tain paradosin, which... they have received parelabasan from us, parhemon. Parelabasan is of the verb paralambano. It's aorist indicative, active third person and plural. So Paul here exhorts his brothers to steadfastness in walking according to the tradition which all have received from us. He exhorts his brothers to assiduously avoid the brother who walks in a defiant way, in an unruly way. That brother is striking his own path for himself, and as such, he is to be avoided. Verse 7, "For you yourselves know," autoi here is masculine, plural, and nominative, intensifying the understood subject or the subject of the verb oidate here. That subject is second person plural. Autoi intensifies occasionally. Here it's doing precisely that. "For you yourselves know," oidate, "how it is necessary, day, to imitate, memesthai, us, hemas." The verb day takes as its subject the infinitive of memeomai. Memesthai is a present infinitive, a middle, so that infinitive there functions here as the subject of day. Hemas is the direct object of that infinitive. So over against the bad example that's being given by the wayward brother, Paul exhorts his faithful brothers to find in Paul and his associates the good example, the right way, the way focused on the right understanding of our faith and life, an example that's there for them to imitate, because it is an example indicative of the faith and life of those who have been called to Christ. So for you yourselves know how it is necessary to mimic us for this reason, because hote, we did not behave inappropriately. Ataktesamen is of the verb atakteo. That verb specifies the carrying out of an inappropriate behavior, kind of a behavior outside the bounds of what's acceptable. Verse 8. And he goes on to explain what he means by that. We didn't give you a bad example. We didn't behave badly, inappropriately. We offered instead a good example, and we did it in this way. Verse 8. Ude, and we did not without cost doreon eat bread arton ephagamen. Ephagamen is of the verb estheo. It's aorist indicative active, first person plural. We did not eat bread for nothing. We did not eat bread that was, free of cost or free of offering something in return. We were not freeloaders in your midst. Instead, we charted a different course in being with you, and this is what that course was like. Allah, rather, en kapo with labor, kai machto, and toil. Night, nuktos, and day, hemeros. We ate and were in your midst. I mean, the main verb here, it seems, is assumed as serving a second time in preparation for the offering of the participle of manner ergazomenoi. That participle is a participle of the verb ergazomai. So in labor and toil, and kapo kai machto, night and day, nuktos kai hemeros. Those are genitives of time within which. So if the time in question has to do with both nighttime and daytime, it was all of the time, suggests Paul. It was all the time that we worked, ergazomenoi, in order to. Pros ta plus the infinitive is shorthand for a clause of purpose, in order that we might not burden anyone, tena, of you, humon. So that we were not a burden when we were in your midst. We set a different course. We offered a good example. We were there not just to freeload off of you. We were there and enjoyed your hospitality, granted, but did so as workers in, appointed by God and doing the good work and devoted to that work. Day and night, we devoted ourselves to the good work given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the work that we performed. That's the work that we did in your midst. That was our work offered in return for the hospitality, the good hospitality that we received. This is the good work of all the faithful. Verse 9. Not because uchate, we did not have uk echaman authority exuseon to perhaps handle ourselves differently. in our capacity as ambassadors for Christ, especially in Paul's apostolic capacity, he says, I suppose I could have come in a different way. I could have come with the full weight of my office, but I came to you instead with a different heart, a different spirit, a different reason in mind. I didn't throw my weight or authority around. I rolled up my sleeves, and I became one of you doing the good work of Christ in your midst. So not because we did not have, conceivably, if one only thinks of it in terms of an issue of authority, not because we did not have such an authority to do things in that way, but in order that, Hina, we might give, domen is an aorist subjunctive form of didomen, in order that we might give or offer ourselves, heautus, as instead a typon, an example, but not just any old garden variety example, mind you. Paul here suggests that instead he and they were in their midst for the purpose of offering themselves as a typifying example of that which defines a soul. Rather, in order that we might give ourselves as an example, that's a double accusative construction, heautus, the reflexive pronoun, followed by a form, another accusative, typon, a form of typos. So we offered ourselves or gave ourselves as a typos, a typon here, to you, Hymen, in order that, and for what reason, for what purpose did we do these things in your midst, so that we might offer you a good example, an example to be imitated, an example for all to imitate. Verse 9 ends with yet another purpose clause, here in the form of eis ta plus the infinitive. Eis ta plus the infinitive expresses purpose, in order that, eis ta, you might imitate memeistai, another form of memeo, or memeomai, in order that you might mimic hemas, us. Verse 10. For, gar, even when, kai hote, even when we were with you, amen, pros humas, we were charging this to you. We were charging parangelamen to you, human. We were charging you with this, if we colloquialize a bit here. For even when we were with you, we were charging you with this. Hutti introduces a clause of direct discourse we would translate with a colon. We were charging you with this, colon. If a certain person or anyone, tis, is not desiring, ou thele, to work, ergazestai, there's another infinitive, more than a few in this unit of text for us to be reckoning with here. The infinitive is an infinitive of ergazomai. The infinitive supplies an object for the verb of desiring, thele, even, if anyone is not desiring to work, ergazestai, then let him also not, let him also not eat estheto. Estheto is of the verb, again, estheo. Here, the form is present, imperative, active, third person singular, hence the translation, let him eat. The negative makes it negative. then let him also medeh not eat estheto. So if any of us are to be with one another, doing the good work of the kingdom, the one who has no interest in such a work shouldn't be expecting to enjoy the good hospitality and the fellowship of the saints. Verse 11, for we hear a kupoman gar that some tenas is followed by a participle of indirect discourse, a participle of peripateo. We are hearing that participle of indirect discourse. Some tenas specifies the subject of the action, the subject of the verb here, the participial form of peripatuntas. The participle itself is masculine, plural, and accusative, agreeing with tenas. We are hearing that some are walking en humin in your midst or among you. Again, here comes the adverb again, ataktos, in an unruly, defiant, out of the bounds way, and not working, but working around. It looks like we're having a play on words to deal with here, which is nicely reflected in some of the versions, Maiden ergadza menus, Allah para ergadza menus. Not by busily working, but by being a busybody, para ergadza mai, means effectively, or refers to, a person being a busybody, a meddler, an interferer, one who manipulates a situation, not working but working it to manipulate it, not busily working but being a busybody, then with these two participles of manner. Walking among you in an unruly or defiant way by not working, but by, working it. The ESV translates, not busy at work, but busy bodies. That's not bad. Verse 12. Now, deh, to such persons, tois, toi, utois, we charge. And we're back to a form of parangelo. Here, parangelamen, we charge and exhort, kai parakalumen, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and kiriu Jesu Christo. So the way this text kind of began is the way it ends. The inclusio frames nicely the unit of text, the interest of the apostle, his desire to exhort, to charge and to exhort, to call attention to the good example and the bad example, that which is good and that which is problematic here, as he works to encourage, to charge, to exhort, to keep his brothers focused on that which is good, right, and proper for the people of God, as we do the good work of the kingdom and as we await the return of our Lord. Now to such persons, we charge, parangelamen, and we exhort, kai parakalumen, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and kiriu Jesu Christu. That, hina introduces here an object clause following after the verbs of charging and exhorting. We charge and exhort that, working with quietness, or with quietness working, mata hesuhias. Now, if you're working quietly, or if you're doing things with quietness, mata he sukhias. You're not being unruly or defiant. You're not operating outside the boundaries. You are cooperating. You are submitting to, you know, what's appropriate to the assembly, to the community of faith. You're doing things in a constructive way, not a destructive way. So working with quietness, we charge and exhort that working with quietness, they eat their own bread. Again, we're coming back to the image of eating bread and whether it's being done for free or whether that hospitality is being enjoyed because a person is entering fully into the life and work of the house, the community, the place, the people. So, charging and exhorting that working with quietness, probably another participle of manner, by working with quietness, they eat estheosin, another form of estheo, the bread, ton arton, their own bread, ton heauton arton. If they're going to have bread, and it's going to be eaten, this is how it should be eaten in this sort of a context. And you, brothers, verse 13, hymes de adelphoi, again, the inclusio is a nice one, from the vocative at the very beginning of the text of the passage here in verse 6 to the vocative at the end, Paul again addresses his own as brothers. And you, brothers, hymes de adelphoi, do not lose heart or grow weary or be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Enkakeo is the verb of choice here. Here at the end of the passage in verse 13, we're looking at an aorist form of enkakeo. It's an imperative. Second person plural, active and second person plural. Do not lose heart. Kalo poiuntes. The predicate position participle is likely to be a causal participle here at the very end. Don't lose heart because you are doing good. Don't get discouraged, because the life of offering this kind of an example in the world doesn't always bring, you know, perhaps what the world is always hoping life would bring. We're focused on living life for a different reason. We're focused on living life for out of Christ, because of Christ, for the sake of Christ, and the hope of Christ. You know, so that means that this working night and day for the sake of the kingdom means that we're not particularly doing it for the reasons that others do work, for the reasons that others put in overtime and what they do, for the reasons that others devote themselves entirely to each day's work that is to be done. Now, we're not in it for ourselves. We already have it for ourselves, what's most important in life. And so as we await the consummation of the same, as we await the blessing of our Lord that will come with his returning and the making manifest of our inheritance in Christ, as we await that day and the promise of that inheritance, we don't find ourselves worrying about any other rewards in life. This one is sufficient. It's more than just sufficient. It is everything. And so for that we work. For that we live. For that we wait. As we await the keeping of the promise of our Lord, the promise that he would return. We'll let that suffice for today's consideration. And I thank you for your attention.